What's riddled with gonorrhea? Sophie, how do I finish this?
I don't want to know.
Well,
it is slightly applicable for today.
Oh, good. Okay, well, this is Behind the Bastards, the podcast with a slightly applicable introduction for the first time in quite a while. I'm Robert Evans, your host, normally, but not today, because today, my buddy Garrison is here.
Hi, Gar.
Greetings.
Garrison has a very special story. I really don't know what to expect here. Should I start by giving the background?
Okay. Ever since I've known Robert, Robert's had a dream. What is that?
So, for a little bit of background on me, I spent a lot of time living in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, and I developed a love for cooking food in pits buried under the ground. You wrap up a bunch of meat, like a turkey stuffed with stuff, and you wrap it in a foil, and you bury it, and you build a fire around it, and you cook it over the course of like a day while you're drinking heavily. It's a great way to like make a turkey. I do it around the holidays a couple of times a year when I have the opportunity. And several years ago, I had a dream, and I saw a vision of a horse stuffed with eels and cooked underground in a pit fire. And I've never been able to get it out of my head. I am still working on – I was briefly in contact with someone who thought they could get me one last year, and I fucked that up because my mom got cancer, and I wound up like, I don't know, just not being great at correspondence for a while.
Let's not call that you fucked it up. You were dealing with something awful.
If you're that person, hit me up again, because I still want the horse. But my dream is to get a horse that has been obviously gutted, stuff it full of eels. Lampreys are acceptable. That's a kind of eel. Any kind of eel will be fine. Stuff it full of eels. Wrap the fucker up in either foil or maybe even like banana leaves if we want to do it like really, you know, pro, or burlap or something. And then bury it, a foot underground, like just bury it to where it's at like ground level, cover it in dirt, and keep a big circular fire going around it for probably like 20 hours. I'm guessing that's how long it's going to take.
I seriously wish the listeners could see Gare's face right now.
Why? What is it? Oh, sorry. My camera's on you. What does Garrison look like?
Just an absolute smirk.
Anyway, this has been my dream for some time.
Yeah, you constantly talk about it.
It's all I want out of the world. So
yeah.
You're going to ruin that for me today, Garrison? Is
well,
that the plan?
Kind of. we'll see. So,
taste of my own medicine.
So, yeah. Well, one night I was doing an extremely hardcore gaming session with a friend of mine. And for some reason, eel horse came up because Robert talks about it all the time. So for some reason, this idea of eel horse came up over the course of our very intense gaming session. And so my friend had the bravery to put the words eel and horse into Google. And that led us down a pretty nightmarish rabbit hole that I knew had to become a Bastards episode, which leads us to now our discussion of the real life eel horse and the eel wielding Bastards of today. So
I'm very excited.
Yeah. So we're going to start off by going way back to the late medieval period in England.
Good time. And everything was fine.
And the bustling business of selling horses.
Yeah.
So let's say you're an old-timey horse salesman. You got yourself some horses that you want to sell, but the problem...
This one gets 16 apples to the league!
Yeah, but the problem is that some of your horses are getting a bit old, you know, a little sluggish. They're not as lively as they used to be in their youth.
Sure, so, that's what happens to horses.
Sorry, I'm already laughing because I know where this is going.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, like, what could I do to make these horses a bit more spry and lively? And then very similar to your vision, what I'm guessing happened is that, like, basically you're thinking, what can I do? And then God comes down to you from the clouds and says, my horse salesman child, have you considered putting a live eel up the horse's butt?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Wait, what? You reply to God. How will that solve my problem? And then God, in his divine wisdom, speaks to you from the heavens and says, well, a live eel inserted up the horse's anus might stimulate the horse and make it appear to be younger and in its more active years, thus
That's
fetching
incredible.
A higher price for your, in actuality,
so,
older horses.
You are telling me, Garrison, that shoving a live eel up the ass of an aging horse was the old-timey equivalent of, like, turning back the odometer on a used car?
Oh, yeah, baby.
That fucking rules.
So upon comprehending your godly enlightenment, you thank the Lord for gifting you a piece of his everlasting wisdom in your your divine vision. You say, "Oh Father in heaven, I your humble servant am eternally grateful for your blessing me with this prosperous inspiration. I'll go forth and place as many eels up the rectum of elder horses, just as you sayeth, and I shall spread this gospel of eel horse to the other horse sellers, so we may all share in your holy riches." And I'm pretty sure that's how it went, because throughout the 1500s, possibly earlier, it's unclear when this started, but it definitely was very popular throughout the 1500s and early 1800s.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So inserting live eels up the back ends of horses, the horses that were past their prime, to make them appear more like frisky and young.
Yeah, because they have an eel that's moving around in their asshole.
And the phrase that keeps coming up is that when they were looking to buy horses, a good sign of a horse was that it carries its tail well. It means the tail is like upright and like almost erect. It's very fluffy.
And the same thing's true of people.
Sure.
Well, furries at least.
Furries, yeah. So and the eel thing was very much the phrase that they kept using was like that putting the eel up helps keep the tail held well, because because it's an eel up the horse.
I am just imagining generations of like Marks buying lemon horses and like, "God damn it, they eeled this one too."
That is exactly what happens.
You gotta check the asshole, Mitch. I told you that. Never buy a used horse without checking the asshole.
So inserting live eels at the back ends of horses past their prime was very common to make them appear more frisky and young.
Do you know what type of eel?
I mean, whatever eels were available in England.
Lampreys.
It's hard to say because there's not extremely thorough documentation of this. Most of the documentation comes from dictionaries and literary references. So you hear this like appearing in like poems and stories. It'd be like describing what selling horses was like.
Yeah. So there's two kinds of eels in the UK, silver and conger. It's not a conger eel. look up the conger eel. Look up the size of this thing.
I mean, I'm not
These
sure.
These are like the size of horses. My God.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Those are massive.
Yeah, no. So it's big. Not. It's not a conger eel.
It's not a conger.
That looks like an alligator. Wow. Yes,
that is discomfortingly large.
That is terrifying. I am
upset at how big that eel is.
No, that is.
I'm generally pro eel, but that is too. Okay, it's probably a silver eel looks more manageable. So I'm guessing it's a silver eel. You can fit one of those up a horse's ass. No problem.
What happened is
that'll go right up an asshole.
Can I just say this was not what I thought was going to be happening today?
I couldn't be happier.
Often what would happen would be when people would come into the showroom to see the horses, the stable boys would be like, would shove the eels up there really quickly.
Incredible.
When people were coming to visit.
Wow.
So,
this fucking rules.
So there is a word for this. The process was called feeging, or to feeg a horse.
Jesus Christ.
We find reference to this process in the excellent classical dictionary of the vulgar tongue. There, in a few copies of this have feeging. I'm going to read from one from 1785. Mm-hmm. It says to feeg is to put a live eel up the horse's fundament to make him lively and carry his tail well. The author goes on to note that the practice was so widespread that it is said a forfeit is incurred by any horse dealer's servant who shall shoe a horse without feeging him first. So pretty good.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty good stuff.
Incredible. I make a lot of jokes about the war against the horses, but like, it's hard to name an animal that's taken more hits for the team being humanity, than the horse. Like,
the horse?
We have fucked them over for so... Like, dogs, we're like, yeah, you want to be best friends and, like, hunt together and hang out and we'll give you food. With horses, we're like, you know what machine guns are? You're about to learn. Like, it's your job to run towards them.
Yeah, horses have taken a decent amount of abuse.
We've really, I didn't know that this had happened, but this
feeging,
is rough.
Yeah, feeging. What's really fun is that you can find a good number of references to this phenomenon in literary writing from the time. in 1616, there was a book of poems published by the then late poet Thomas Overbury, and it included an array of poetic character sketches of like unsavory types of people written by various anonymous authors. One of these poems details the character. One of these poems details the characteristics of an errant horse courser, noted that among other unsavory habits, the man knows how to cover up diseases and defects of all sorts, for pounding his horse's arse with quicksilver and giving him suppositories of live eels, he's an expert. Pretty decent.
My goodness.
Referring to putting a live eel up an ass as a suppository.
Of live eels, yeah.
That is incredible. Uh-huh. That is amazing. Garrison, I'm very proud of you.
He is expert. Expert at an errant horse courser. Oh, man.
Maybe this is how I prepare the eel horse. I didn't think about starting it while the horse was alive. No, I wouldn't do that.
No.
You realize that these are supposed to be bad guys, right? Like,
they're literally the used car salesmen of the medieval period.
Of the medieval period, yes.
And they're shoving,
live eels up the horse's butts.
Come down to Slick Joe's Discount Horse Depot. Absolutely no eels up their assholes.
A young John Milton mentioned feeging
incredible.
In a 1628 Latin poem while mocking his fellow Cambridge students. He described a certain Irish bird as, quote, more useful to grooms because they are by nature lively and brisk and prancing. And if they were forced into the anus of a scraggly horse, they would make them livelier and quicker than if they had 10 live eels up their bellies.
Wow. Garrison, I want to congratulate you here because for years, Sophie will back me up on this, I have been trying to work in Paradise Lost connections to Behind the Bastards. Hasn't happened yet. We just don't go far back enough. But you finally brought old J. Milt into it.
Yeah.
And I applaud you.
J. Milt. She rolls off J. Milt. The tongue.
Mm-hmm. The Kanye West of 1628 literature.
Yeah.
That's what everyone says.
The humorist poet Edward Ward, in his 1700 A Song Upon Dancing, wrote that dancers skip with a nimble force as eels is the belly of a horse, which jockeys use each market day to make him dance, as people say. So that's nice.
That's a nice little rhyme, actually.
Yeah, he had a decent little thing going. So yeah, unfortunately, depending on your perspective, but by the late 1700s and early 1800s, the eel anal insertion had begun to fall out of fashion. As horse salesmen realized, probably again via divine revelation from the Lord, that the same effect, or at least a similar effect, could be achieved by instead inserting a piece of spicy ginger up the horse's arse. And this is apparently still an issue at horse shows that people have to like enforce.
Wow. Stop people from shoving ginger
up the butt of horses this is still like an ongoing problem that needs like enforcement at horse shows.
Yeah, the ginger police.
Yeah, so
that means though, if you went back to shoving eels up their asses, nobody would catch it. They're not still checking for eel. I'm just telling you, if you want to cheat at having nice horses, eels, that's wide open, baby.
Yeah. Yeah,
get an eel. Try an electric one. Maybe that's how I'll cook it, Garrison.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, but we still do actually have the modern phrase to ginger up or to spice up a horse. This comes from feeging.
I've never heard of that phrase, but I'll trust you on that.
It's a phrase. And this is also where we get to the modern BDSM practice called figging, deriving from the feeging, where but figging is usually a butt plug made of ginger placed up someone's anus, and this we will circle back to this at the end, because this will help us explain a modern eel issue we have.
Yes, modern eel issues are very serious.
Yeah, speaking of
eel shoes.
Speaking of eel shoes, do you know who else wants you to buy live eels to stick up the butts of horses?
Oh gosh, I mean, Jesus. Our friends at I don't know,
we call it stimulation therapy. Yeah.
Yeah, stimulation, people who make those fucking those with all of our sponsors. Oh my gosh. Obviously, they are all huge fans of shoving eels in assholes. In fact, that's the only requirement we have of our sponsors. Have you put an eel in something's butt? Doesn't have to be a horse. And in fact, oftentimes it's a completely different species. We like it when they get creative. And that's the Behind the Bastards guarantee. Oh, we're back. All right, Garrison. I'm ready.
Uh-huh. So the first bastards of today are the 14th through 17th century horse salesmen. But yeah, unfortunately,
incredible.
Unfortunately, we still have some time left in this episode, as you can tell. And once me and my friend started Googling eel and anus, this led us down a dark rabbit hole that forever scarred my mind.
Yeah, I can see how that would go to some bad places, actually.
And unfortunately, we're going to be briefly moving away from horses and towards another H species called humans.
No.
Which leads us to probably the darkest, most evil segment of today's episode.
Excellent.
The Phoenix Program.
That sounds like a good thing to be involved in assholes being filled with eels.
Great. So the Phoenix Program was a brutal counterinsurgency program started in 1968 and run by William Colby, later head of the CIA. It was aimed at weeding out Viet Cong or anyone deemed Viet Cong sympathizers.
Yeah. The Viet Cong was anybody that we happened to bomb.
Yeah.
In this period.
Yeah. Yeah. So weeding out anyone deemed Viet Cong sympathizers by identification and neutralization with the methodology of infiltration, capture, terrorism, torture, and assassination. The Phoenix Program was designed, coordinated, and executed primarily by the CIA with some help by the United States Special Operations Forces during the war in Vietnam. Versions of the program were kind of in operation between 1965 and 1970. But the official program and the official body count begun in 68. Similar programs existed both before and after that period. But you know, for the official Phoenix program, it starts in 68, goes to 72. By 1972, Phoenix operatives had quote unquote neutralized at least 81,640 people suspected of being operatives or sympathizers of the Viet Cong. At least 26,000 of whom were officially killed, but South Vietnamese officials estimate over 40,000 were killed. Military intelligence officer K. Milton Osborne wrote a book about his time there and witnessed the following forms of torture, including the use of inserting a 6-inch dowel into the cavity of a detainee's ears and tapping the dowel through the brain until the person dies.
You tax dollars at work, people.
A lot of starvation to death inside a cage. And I'm going to read a quote now. Other methods of torture used in the interrogation centers include rape, gang rape, rape using hard objects, rape followed by murder, electric shock by attaching wires to the genitals, and rape using eels and snakes. This is like the most fucking evil humanity can do. Like the Phoenix Program is up there and like the most like evil.
That's
things.
Nazi level shit.
No, like, yeah,
that's,
like it's
straight up on the same level. Yeah.
It's like the most bastard you can be. Like all like the horrific abuses done in the Phoenix Program by the American government, and there was assistance from the South Vietnamese government, assistance from Australia, but it was mostly the American government. It is like the most possibly evil thing if you like read about the Phoenix Program detail.
That's the highest. We'll do a whole thing.
No, yeah, they deserve their own like series, honestly.
Several episodes. Yeah, we'll get it after the 9-part Kissinger series.
Like William Colby and the CIA in the Vietnam War. It's extremely
evil. A fucking nightmare. I mean, people talk rightly about Unit 731, which was a Japanese military detachment that did like biological and chemical warfare research that involved some of the worst stories of like torture and experiment, like Dr. Mengele. And we talk about these as if like these are unique horrors of like fascist countries. I guess you could say they're unique horrors of fascist countries because certainly within the context of our policies in Vietnam, the United States was doing some fashy as hell shit. But the shit that the CIA pulled in Vietnam is that same level, like that exact same level. It is not devaluing the horrors of the Holocaust or of Japanese war crimes in Manchuria to put this kind of shit. I mean, they're raping people with eels.
Like, until they die. Yeah.
Until raping people to death with eels. Like, what do you? Yeah.
Yep.
I was aware of this sort of thing, I mean, mainly with snakes and stuff. But yeah.
So after some of the details of the abuses,
I like
the CIA,
this less than the horse.
No, yeah, this is definitely
this is less fun.
It's less fun. So after some of the details of the horrific abuses by the CIA and Army that was carried out in Vietnam, as they slowly came to light in the early 70s, the program was officially shut down under public pressure. But in actuality, it just continued under a different name. And some of the control of the program was handed to the South Vietnam government. It's kind of hard to pivot away from something this dark. But I'm going to think of it as a way to help kind of wash down the human filth that we just discussed. Because now we are going to discuss the modern eel anus problem.
Good.
And now
I'm glad we're getting up to the modern day.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So this is a thing with multiple facets, and a sizable portion of which is an extension of the figging connection. And
Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, good. Actually, this is good. I would prefer an extension of that.
It goes back to the horses eventually. Yeah. So
thank God.
April 2013, in the Guangdong province of China, a destructively horny, single 39-year-old man was watching.
Fantastic. Everything's coming together for this story.
Was watching an eel figging porn, and he had the uncontrollable urge to try it himself.
Wait, watching?
He was watching an eel figging porn. So
wait,
like,
what year is this? I thought you said 1813.
No, this is 2013.
Oh, 2013. I misheard. I was
modern.
Supposed to say, how is he watching porn?
No.
Modern.
Okay.
Yeah, 2013. Horribly horny, okay. 39-year-old man was watching an eel figging porn, and he had the uncontrollable urge to try
exists,
it himself.
Huh? That exists.
I see. In researching this episode, I've seen about every video of eels going into bodies on the internet.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah,
that's good.
It's a lot.
We should watch Zoo together, Garrison.
Anyway, so he had there to try it himself, and he tried to keep holding the eel for the duration of the period, but he lost.
That's probably a good idea
But he lost grip of the slippery little fucker.
See, that's rookie shit. You gotta get a like rope around that eel,
and
it
swam all the way up there.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
After failed attempts to remove the eel, the man went to the emergency room for medical assistance, and he told the presumably confused medics, "Please, please help me. The eel is moving through my body."
Imagine that's just your fucking day, right? Like, you're 6 hours into a shift, you're getting ready to go home, you're tired, you've already seen some shit, and then this kid's like, "There is an eel moving inside of me for undetermined reasons," and like,
that's
the rest of your fucking night.
Yep. So the 20-centimeter long eel chewed the way through the man's colon, it perforated his large intestine and became stuck in the body cavity.
Oh my
god. The medical team that treated the man reportedly said that the eel, which weighed about a pound, was, quote, simply trying to find its way out.
Fair play by the eel.
Yeah, the eel's not doing anything wrong.
No,
here.
none of the things we're talking about today is the eel's fault.
None of what
we're talking about today is the fault of the eel.
I would go so far as to say that nothing has ever been an eel's fault.
No.
Because they're eels.
No. This is just on us. Totally on us. The medical team said the eel was still alive when we got it out, but it died soon afterwards, which was probably a mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
I have
read every single story of eels going up people's butts that you can find on the internet. And a decent amount of these incidents track, I think a decent amount of them do track back to getting the idea from porn. But that is far from the only cause of eel anal penetration.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Because that would be unreasonable.
Yeah. So 3 years prior, back in 2010, a 59-year-old chef from the Zigong city of China went to the hospital complaining of abdominal pain, dehydration, and a great deal of anal bleeding. And he truly did not know what was going on. He actually had no idea. So doctors also had no idea what was the cause of this, and they resorted to cutting open his innards, in which they discovered a 50-centimeter long Asian swamp eel lodged in his rectum. It was already dead, but the eel had apparently already wreaked havoc through the inside of his body, biting the way through his intestines prior to dying. Internal bleeding and infection rapidly set in. The man was hospitalized.
Oh, that's a big eel. That is not a small eel to have inside you.
It's large.
That's slightly too big to get in a horse's asshole, is my guess.
When
they're small, you could.
I've not included pictures in the script here, but basically for every story from the Chinese hospitals, upload all of these pictures. It is kind of silly. It is absurd how many pictures of and like videos of these procedures they upload themselves. Like entire videos of them surgically doing this. It's pretty nightmarish. The man was hospitalized for 10 days, but he eventually died. So this did kill him.
That sounds about right. Again, we should watch Zoo.
Afterwards, the probable cause was actually established. So the chef had been drinking with friends and he had passed out. They decided it would be an amusing prank to insert a live eel up his anus while he was comatose and not tell him.
Oh my God. I mean, look, I've done some things I regret while drinking, but I have always informed people when I've put a live eel inside them. That's just basic decency.
We have a friend who falls asleep often while watching movies, and we sometimes mess with them. But
sure,
I think
things on their head, all sorts of things.
But I think this is too far. Honestly, I would
say killing them via an eel eating their internal organs is taking a little far.
I think it's too much. I mean, all for committing to the bit, but honestly, I think this is too far. I think it's too much.
You know where I think they went wrong is when they were shoving a live animal up their friend's asshole.
As the person was asleep? Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the issue. Where they went awry.
Yeah. So this is one of the few instances that is like totally not this person's fault. And his friends, I think, were investigated and prosecuted by whatever authorities. Anyway, but before we get to like the big kicker, there is some other general kind of eel news worth mentioning. 2012, a man in New Zealand got an eel removed via surgery after the slippery fucker got stuck up his rectum. It wasn't officially revealed how or why it got up there, so that is left to us to decide. But the unique aspect of this story is that 33 hospital staff all got in trouble for sharing X-ray photos of the eel and leaking the story to the media. Which is interesting.
That's kind of shitty.
It's totally different in China. In China, all stuff gets uploaded. But in New Zealand, the hospital got mad that the employees were leaking pictures of this incident.
That's going to mean the next person who gets an eel stuck up their ass won't go to the doctor.
That is the thing.
Which, although I will say, if you're the kind of person who tortures a live animal to get off, I don't really...
Yeah.
Care if you get medical treatment,
yeah,
I guess.
Nope. Yeah, not really. In 2014, a Brazilian man had emergency surgery to remove an eel from his backside. Again, the exact reasoning it being unknown, but I'm pretty sure both these incidents are related to kink stuff.
That sounds right.
We're gonna discuss this more towards the end because there is one other reason people claim for once they go to the doctor, how they explain why an eel is up their butt. So on to the main eel anal epidemic.
Yeah.
So this starts in 2003, actually, is the first instance I can find of this, specifically in our modern documentation. I'm going to read directly from the hospital report. Now, this is somewhere in China. I'm not quite sure where because the report doesn't specify exactly. And there isn't any other reporting of this incident besides this one hospital report. So it's just this hospital report. Anyway, 50-year-old man was seen at the accident and emergency department because of abdominal pain. The physical examination revealed redness and swelling around the tissue around the abdomen. A shadow of an eel was noticed on the abdominal radiograph. Upon further questioning, the patient admitted that an eel was inserted into the rectum in an attempt to relieve constipation.
I mean, on a moral level, that's, I guess, better than putting an eel up your ass for sexual gratification.
Uh-huh.
But on an intellectual level, why would you think that would work?
If it's true. Emergency laparotomy found that the 50-centimeter long eel was biting the splenic flexure of the colon. Multiple perforations were found around the walls of the rectum, and the post-operative course was uneventful. The patient was discharged from onto home on like day 7. So this appears to be the most claimed reason given by people found to have an eel up their butt on why said eel is up their butt. They most often claim constipation. And there has been a decent uptick in reported incidents of eel up the anus to cure constipation since 2017. April 2017, 49-year-old factory worker from the capital of South China's Guangdong province was rushed to the hospital complaining of constipation and a stomach ache. Upon the doctors opening up the man's stomach to discover both feces and a foot and a half long eel, the man claimed it swam up there by the man claimed it swam up there by itself.
Okay, well, so I got a couple of notes.
He suffered from a punctured pancreas, according to the doctors, the eel managed to break through the man's intestines and generated a mess in the man's stomach, almost killing him.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, don't do that with an eel.
Yeah, so the man later, according to the doctors, the man later gave more details post-operation, quoting said doctors. But he later admitted that he put it up there himself following a, quote, folk remedy for bowel obstruction. As a medical expert, the doctor noted that there was no scientific basis for such a treatment involving live eels.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So do you know how to cancel an Amazon order? Because I just had, I was just trying to rush a shipment of eels to my house, but I guess I don't need them now.
You can cancel. You go to the orders page usually.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, the man survived this. It was unclear what happened to the eel. So
probably not a great story for the eel.
Yeah.
Would you want to live after that, though?
No. So apparently what happened upon further interviewing, he said that he went to his friends for medical advice, and they told him about a, quote, folklore method of curing constipation, which involved a live eel to help smooth bowel movement. So he found a 20-inch Asian swamp eel, and after the deed had been done, he got him into the hospital after he started experiencing unbearable stomach aches. So, and what's really upsetting is that this is by no means an isolated incident. Next time we're talking about is September 2018, again reading from a hospital report. Colonic perforation is a common presentation at the emergency department. However, foreign body-related perforation is responsible for less than 1% of these cases. Here we describe the case of colonic perforation secondary to the self-introduction of an eel into the anus. A 54-year-old previously healthy male presented himself to the emergency department with a 12-hour history of abdominal pain. Physical examination revealed tenderness, rebound tenderness, and involuntary guarding. A CT scan of his abdomen and pelvis revealed a foreign body in his cavity. Upon further questioning, the patient admitted the eel was inserted into his anus by accident.
Well, yeah. Okay. Look, we've all put some things up our assholes by accident.
By accident.
Not living animals.
Quote unquote, right? Accident. Sure.
Pieces of the Monopoly board game? Of course.
Accident.
Pieces of firearms? Absolutely.
Accident.
Knives? Yes, it happens, but not a live animal.
That's all. That was the entire, it was an accident. There was no clarification. That's it. Great.
So he underwent a laparotomy, and the eel was subsequently removed. He was transferred to the standard ward from the emergency ward after 7 days of observation. Diagnosing a colonic foreign body can be challenging, as patients often deny the insertion.
Yeah, fair.
A CT scan is recommended.
I wouldn't want to admit to that.
Right.
A CT scan is recommended for patients having a suspected colonic foreign body. So that's a hospital report. You know what else you want to deny the presence of, Robert?
Washington State Patrol ads, Black Rifle Coffee ads, Chevron ads. Wait, what is it?
Chevron. Oh, I hope it's Chevron. I love Chevron.
Let's get some Chev ads.
Our next season of podcasts is going to be entirely supported by Chevron. Chevron. Fuck it. Why not?
And we're back. Talking about eels still. Wow. I watched
eels up inside you.
I spent so long on this episode doing research.
Mighty Boosh, anybody?
Too much time.
Well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I spent too much time researching this. Anyway, January of 2020, there was another similar incident, but with a fun twist. Instead of boofing the eels, a 51-year-old construction worker in East China's Guangxi province swallowed two live eels to reportedly treat his constipation.
Well, I guess that's better.
It's different. It's not better. Well, it's different.
It's definitely, what I'll say is better, is it's, there's no question that it wasn't a sex thing.
That is true.
That seems like a legitimate.
This is one of the instances
here.
That it probably wasn't a sex thing. Because
yeah,
again, I think
sound like a
part
sex
of the
thing.
Problem here is once this constipation myth got started or lie got started, people are going to hear about it and then
people
might start actually doing it genuine.
Stupid.
Yeah.
People
might start doing it genuine.
Dumb.
Yeah. So
people take Joe Rogan's advice on how to treat diseases. They're very stupid.
So yeah, he was rushed to the hospital by his colleagues where he revealed that he consumed the eels the day before. During surgery, they found a quote, very thick eels lodged outside of his intestines in the lower part of his abdomen.
Oh, wow.
Quoting the doctor, because the eels were alive while being swallowed, a person's intestines are fragile. Therefore, they'll be ruptured as soon as the eels bite them. Said the doctors.
Oh, really? Amazing. So our intestines are not, we did not evolve to have our intestines bitten by eels. This is shocking to me,
Garrison. They found a 2-centimeter wide hole in the sigmoid colon. Medics said he was in a state of shock due to life-threatening bacterial infection around the ruptured colon. He was left in critical condition. The 51-year-old man was allegedly following a folk remedy in which claims that gobbling live eels could help pass solid waste, according to the surgeon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
great.
Yep.
Based.
June 2020. An unnamed patient aged in his 50s sought medical attention again in China's southern province of Guangdong after suffering a pain in his abdomen for about a week. Jesus Christ.
Good God in heaven.
By this time, he had severe sepsis leading to septic shock and was unable to communicate. It was unable to communicate coherently, according to the surgeon.
Shocking.
So,
very surprising.
Again, quoting said surgeon,
who could have anticipated this?
During a CT scan, we suspected a foreign body in his
abdominal, Garrison.
Abdominal cavity. But we couldn't tell what it was. Then, while performing a colonoscopy, we discovered it was an Asian swamp eel that entered the cavity.
Yeah.
The patient then had an emergency operation to have the eel removed from his gut, with doctors opening up his abdomen and discovering it filled with waste matter, including excrement and pus from his severe infection.
Yeah.
The hospital image shows the, again, not included in the document for Sophie's sake, a 15-inch freshwater eel removed, intact in the procedure. I can send you pictures afterwards, Robert.
Please.
I have a lot.
That sounds hot as hell.
I'm great.
This is how it starts, Robert.
Mm-hmm. This is how it starts. I'm now eel curious.
No, you're not. Stop it.
You can buy things that do the same thing.
You can buy things that are not live eels to do the same thing.
You can get robotic stuff that does the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm. You could also get an ovipositor if you're really into that stuff.
See, that is
those are
Robert,
pretty neat.
That's completely
those are
different.
Neat.
I object to you doing this comparison. Those are classy. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're neat.
All right. Anyway. Quoting the doctor, the eel's already dead, but it's caused severe bacterial contamination in his abdomen due to buildup of feces and pus. It was only after surgery when we were inquiring after his medical about his medical history that he told us he used the eel to cure his constipation. He inserted it up his anus into his rectum. I suspect it was then that the perforation of his sigmoid colon occurred. I also suspect that is also my guess. Is that it occurred afterwards?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because he had inserted the live eel into himself, the chances of him dying were quite high had he not had the surgery in time. Again, quoting the doctor. The doctor said that the constipation cure folk remedy thing he warned members of the public against doing this for some reason. The patient got discharged days later and had allegedly purchased the common freshwater eel from a wet market, according to the hospital. So we got one more. One more.
Mm-hmm.
a man, again, in the Guangxi province of East China, inserted a 20-centimeter long eel into his rectum on July 20th, 2021. Allegedly in hopes of relieving constipation, but instead it almost took his life after the eel entered his abdomen. He finally went to the doctor after enduring pain on the first day, as he was, he went on the second day, because he was too shy to see a doctor.
Yeah, well, okay.
Tough to explain this to the doc.
That keeps being an issue in these.
This is an issue in these.
I would say the primary issue is putting eels up your butt.
Yeah. Okay. The doctor who did the operation said that he could have lost his life, as the bacteria in the large intestine may have caused hemolysis when it reached the abdominal. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well,
abdominal cavity.
There we go. You did it.
According to the Chinese news outlet Global Times, what motivated the man to do so was a folk remedy that says the eel can help with bowel movement. But instead of curing the constipation, the eel went inside the man's rectum to the colon and bit through it, entering from the colon into the abdomen. Eel was still alive by the time it was removed during operation.
Oh, good for the eel. I hope it's lived a full life.
So this is where things are going to kind of tie back to Eel Horse, because
I was waiting for that.
I think a lot of these incidents are in fact not due to constipation, and are people just using that as an excuse so they don't have to admit the slightly more embarrassing reasoning being that they thought it was hot. Because only the first guy you mentioned actually admitted it to being a kink thing back in 2013, but ever since the first story in 2017 of a guy claiming it's constipation, everyone is using this reason now. And I think a lot of these incidents are actually also kink stuff. So back to the figging, derived from figging with the horse. With the rise of internet and porn, I think, you know, this stuff's been getting more popular. And once the ginger figging isn't exciting you anymore, you know what you're gonna do. That's right, baby. Return to tradition and use the original horse feeding tool, the live eel. And that's what's going on. So I talked to our doctor friend Kava, who specializes in colon.
Kava
type,
Holder, yeah.
Yeah, who specializes in like colon
no,
type stuff.
No, he's the kind of doctor you want to ask
about. He is the exact doctor to deal with this. So I talked to him about this, and he said he's heard of this constipation excuse before, but he and his colleagues are skeptical and think that the constipation excuse is actually bullshit.
Sure.
He told me that people get pretty creative when they start coming up with excuses for things they put in their rectum. Like, he gave examples as I was doing pull-ups over a shampoo bottle, or I had an itch, as, you know, reasons people bullshit for why they find weird things up their butt. So Kava says that this is probably a sex thing, and he could not find any basis for this folk remedy. Like he cannot like see where this idea actually comes from. He talked to a Chinese doctor, friends of his, like this isn't a thing. Like we don't know where this isn't actually a thing. And like from my cursory examination, eel and more broadly like tentacle stuff is generally more popular in Asia and Japan and China than it is in the States. Generally,
Sure.
I mean, there is definitely its own thing here, but a lot of that also does come from anime. Most of the tentacle stuff is around anime. So I also talked with our friend Chris about this, and we surmised that the reason why this may be way more common in the Guangdong and Eastern Chinese provinces is because those two areas produce an absurd amount of the world's eel exports. And then the amount of eel exports have been rapidly increasing over the past 20 years, which means the people in those provinces have eels just around they're way more common and way more easily accessible than anywhere else in the world, basically.
Yeah.
So like you can
act, they're a lot cheaper than whatever eel based sex toys you're about to suggest, Garrison, being bougie,
absolutely
thinking people ought to pay money when there's free eels lying around to get off with.
Because the other thing is I've tried to really find all references to like this folk remedy, folklore method of curing constipation, and it only tracks back to this to one 2017 article, and anything before that, and the one 2003 incident as well. But that's it. There's really no other basis for there actually being a folklore origin. So like if any listeners have knowledge of this tracking back before 2003, please, please let me know. Because I've tried looking. I spent days, mm-hmm. days looking for information about eel anal constipation cures pre-2003 and pre-2017. And it's just, I can't find anything. So doctors in China also agree with this assessment. I'm going to read, this is one final thing. I'm going to be looking at there is one study from China looking at the eel anus phenomenon. So they did an actual study on this because it kept being a problem. Mm-hmm. Self-introduction of an eel into the anus causing colonic perforation is uncommon. But when it occurs, the reason may be due to a bizarre belief, an inadvertent sexual behavior, or a criminal assault. The situation is more common in men, about 4 to 1. And once a live eel is inserted into the colon, it will bite through the wall of the colon, migrating into the abdominal cavity through perforation, resulting in an accidental or opportunistic human pathogen similar to the Vibrio vulvanicus infection. Cool.
Okay.
Diagnosing a colonic foreign body can be challenging because patients often deny the insertion. They may have obscure anal pain, mucus discharge, lax anal tone, and fresh bleeding from the rectum.
Man, just an incredible number of band names in that sentence you just said.
The most common presenting clinical features of colonic perforation are peritoneal irritation with rebound tenderness and rigidity of the abdomen accompanied by fever and rapid heartbeat. These features should raise the suspicion of a presence of a colonic foreign body. Plain radiographs are useful in diagnosing the perforations. However, a CT scan is recommended if the findings are not definitive or if the presence of a foreign body cannot be ruled in or out by radiographs alone. So yeah, this is how we get from putting eels up horses' butts to make them seem younger and carry their tail high and well, to people mm-hmm. dying and almost dying from eels eating their insides because you saw it in a porn video.
Excellent.
But I really do love the actual linguistic pathway of feeging, and then feeging changing from eels to ginger, then the ginger thing changing from feeging to figging for sex, and then it going back to eels. It's like full circle. It's just the beauty of life.
It's like poetry. I know. It's
like poetry. It rhymes. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how just a complete full circle moment of starting with eels with feeging and ending with eels with figging. Wow. I love the human language. Humans are great, except for all the horrible things that we do. This is, again, we probably shouldn't be doing this as there's like a global pandemic and wasting hospital space because you keep shoving eels up your butt. Like a lot of these were from like three of these were from 2020. Like guys,
Bastards recommendation officially.
No, stop. Shove an eel up your ass. Stop doing it.
Find an eel, get it up in there.
Robert, you can buy in there. You can buy toys. You can buy toys that do the same thing.
Robert,
you don't need to do the eel.
Free.
The eels can't consent.
Respectfully, Robert, shut the fuck up.
The eels can't consent.
Get them in ya.
The eels can't consent.
No, listen to Garrison. Do not listen to Robert. That is the bastard's way.
This actually does bring us full circle because what is perfectly safe and what is perfectly ethical is using ethically slaughtered horse and ethically fished eels to make an eel horse.
I mean, it is more ethical than shoving an eel up your friend's mm-hmm. butt as they are asleep mm-hmm. and then them dying. That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, that is the ballad of eel horse and how we get from eel horse to our modern eel anal epidemic. Perfect lineage. Just amazing lineage. Ah.
If you're out there and you've got a horse that's about to die of natural causes, we want to put eels in it and cook it.
Oh, God.
So hit us up.
I would like to be excluded.
Sophie, what's our email?
I would like to be excluded from this narrative, but it is. It is coolzonemedia at iHeartMedia.com.
Coolzonemedia at iHeartMedia.com. Find us a horse carcass.
Horribly, horribly, horribly named email
and
address.
If you've got a line on a significant quantity of raw eels, we might need that too. But I think I can probably.
I'm gonna
those.
Leave. I'm gonna right. end the
well,
call.
You're yeah. going to cook the eel horse with me, Garrison. That's going to happen when we finally get the horse and the eels.
Can I just say, Garrison? I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry I had to watch so many of these videos.
I'm sorry you had to watch so many of those videos too.
Purely academic.
In fairness, absolutely no one asked you to do this. No one ever would have asked you to do this. But we're asking you, the listener at home, to check us out wherever podcasts are found.
Yeah, follow us.
Behind the Bastards.
At Bastards
Could Happen
Pod,
Here.
At Happen Here Pod.
I wrote a book called After the Revolution. Maybe the sequel will include an eel horse if it's tasty. Maybe that's the future of food. There's no way to know.
I do like that this is, I know we've covered a lot of darker topics on Behind the Bastards more recently. I do like this is a very nice light beacon in like the Bastards totem pole. We are pretty low. Relatively, I mean, still, it's like,
oh,
the
yeah. I mean, again,
Phoenix program is pretty high, but
yeah,
like,
that one's rough.
But like the horse salesman thing, they're pretty bad, but they're on
That's
the lower
just funny.
End.
I mean, it is animal.
They're on, they're like they're on the lower end of Bastards. Yeah. So I do like to have a bit of a lighter presence in this episode. So you're welcome for that. And yep, I'm done talking about this topic.
We're done.
Bye.
Godspeed.
Awesome. All right. Well, come over, Garrison. I'm going to cook crocodile tonight. I found a place that'll send.
I'm coming right over. Actually,
incredible.
So,
excellent.
Bye,
all
everybody.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Wanted to record a note. Some people on the subreddit got quite frustrated about some of the claims about the Phoenix program. They pointed out an Ask Historians thread, which doesn't put any shade on the specific claims made by the author, Douglas Valentine's, about the eels and whatnot, but does generally have issues with his sourcing. At least one of his sources was a guy that's very common when you're talking about Vietnam, which is like some dude who pretended to have done something that he hadn't, or to have had a position that he hadn't. You find this a lot on like both sides of the war crimes discussion. I wanted to note that, number one, I'm not entirely convinced by that Ask Historians thread, because it's just a guy talking about, you know, why he doesn't think this is a particularly credible. In that thread, he talks about one of his justifications is that, like, eliminating insurgent infrastructure at a ground level is a basic counterinsurgency tactic, which, yeah, it is a basic counterinsurgency tactic. Counterinsurgency operations nearly always involve significant war crimes. And you can see that no matter who is doing the counterinsurgency, whether it's Kenya or Afghanistan with the Russians, you know, it's war crimes are part and parcel of counterinsurgency. The mess is kind of one of the reasons why we don't generally delve into this territory too much without doing it in a dedicated episode is that when you're talking about like crimes against humanity, specifically ones the CIA was involved in, you've got a couple of different sources. Some of them are going to be declassified documents, which, you know, in a lot of cases you actually do have. Here's the CIA talking about fucked up shit they did. But a lot of information was destroyed. A lot of stuff never got written down. And so a lot of times when you're talking about war crimes in a variety of countries, you're getting human sources. Some of those will be victims. Some of those will be guys who were in the CIA or who were in another military branch, and who there's always different kind of levels of credibility and kind of shortcomings and inconsistencies in their stories. And it's all sort of complicated by the fact that debate over U.S. war crimes in Vietnam within the United States is incredibly political. You can look at this when you're just trying to determine the actual body count, right? There's a massive ongoing debate about how many civilians were killed specifically and how many civilians were killed by the United States, but just how many died in general in Vietnam and Cambodia. And you can find historians arguing ad nauseum about this. One of the big debates with a lot of the kind of ground level war crimes, because on any objective level, the majority of war crimes the U.S. is responsible in Vietnam were committed from the air. But when you're talking about ground level war crimes, like we were talking about here, you'll run into a couple of different books, Nick Turse's Kill Anything That Moves and Gary Kulik's War Stories. And these are very opposed books. And you can find a lot of criticism about Turse's book in online by historians. Kulik, who's critical of Turse, is generally seen as more credible. Kulik was also a U.S. soldier in Vietnam. And again, so there's always this tremendous amount of bias kind of no matter where you come at it from. And other people will point out that a lot of the early like push to talk about U.S. war crimes in Vietnam was funded by Hanoi, which you can say, yeah, and of course they have an agenda, but they were also the victims of a lot of war crimes. So this is just, I don't know. This is not a case where I feel like we necessarily got something wrong, because I'm not convinced that the Douglas Valentine book is wrong, especially based on the evidence that we have. But it is worth noting that there is a tremendous amount of debate over all of this. And as a general rule, when we delve into stuff like this, we will try to make sure that it's in a thing focused on that so that we can actually cover the swath of historiography on the subject rather than kind of pass over a little bit of it and then lead people to think that, okay, well, what about this? What about this argument? What about that argument? This is all incredibly political history. So that's what you get.